Good to see everyone this morning. What a great God we serve. He is truly mindful of us, and we're just grateful for all that He does. And we're excited about this new series. We started it last Sunday, so there are some things that I talked about last Sunday. We may do just a tad of review, but not much. We will continue in this. Again, I said that this series would take some time. It'll be quite lengthy because of how critical it is for you and I to understand the concept of the kingdom of God. So we titled it, Revealing the Kingdom of God, Understanding the Message that Jesus Preached. I mainly want to focus on that today because the basis of our looking at Scripture have to be understood. From the just the simplicity of the way Jesus addressed the church, how he addressed the people. And we want to look at that carefully, study that out so we can see what he used as far as the words that we miss many times. I think that's key. We see things in terms. We miss out what the Scripture is actually saying. And so we never spend enough time in those verses. We kind of just see them as a general statement. But today, we're going to start breaking that down, going as deep into it as we can, so you understand what this message is all about. You've heard the term the kingdom of God, I'm sure, before. But it doesn't get preached a lot in the church today. It should, because it is the main theme of the message of Jesus, and we'll show you that in the Scripture. Of course, there's no reason for us to even attempt to go through these Scripture if we can't find the basis of that and what Jesus taught. After all, when you come to know Christ, you accept him as your rabbi. So if he's the rabbi, we're not going to take what he said and then elaborate on what he said and come up with some new ideas. We ought to just say what he said. Preach how he preached. Many people in the church today don't even see Jesus as a preacher. They don't see that. They see him as a person who died. He was buried and he rose again. That's what he did. They don't see him that he preached the gospel. So if he preached the gospel, then what is that? If he preached it, most people think the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection. That's it. Well, that's part of it, but that's not in its entirety. That hangs upon what the gospel really is, foundationally. The only person that I've seen in Scripture, matter of fact, the first preacher that I've seen in Scripture to preach on the kingdom was Jesus, as far as the preaching of that. Now, there are people who mentioned it. The prophets prophesied about his coming. There were people who made reference to it, but nobody could preach it yet because there had to be somebody special to introduce something so out there. Because the kingdom of God has everything. It hinges upon you understanding the fact of immortality. If you don't understand immortality, and what is immortality? What's an easy definition for immortality? You never die. Cannot die. Well, that's something that's wonderful, isn't it? Because we know that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Well, that we always see that verse as, well, I don't want that. So what we do is we hear somebody talk about there's a way out of that. And so they'll preach what they call the gospel. Jesus came, he died for your sins, he forgives you, he loves you, he rose again, and one day you can be with him forever and ever. And that's about the end of it. Well, that's a wonderful statement. And there's a lot of truth in that statement. But it's not the entirety of what the Scripture says. Because it talks about hope in the Scripture. Our hope. As a matter of fact, when it deals with faith, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So, if you don't have something that you're hoping for, it's going to be hard for you to fight the good fight of faith. Remember, Brother Marcel preached that when he was here last time. If you don't know what the hope's for, your good fight of faith, you're not going to put a lot of energy and effort in it. You got to know what that hope is. Well, it's not something that we don't know about. It's something that the Bible clearly teaches. We just, there's not a lot of time spent on it. That's our goal in this series. That's why we titled it Revealing the Kingdom of God. So we're going to take this on. We're going to go right where we left off last week. And we'll see how far we can get today in this study. Now, we stopped on slide 24. And we want to start now on 25. It says, we have a strong warning not to pervert the gospel. When we have that warning, I think it's important that we don't pervert the gospel. A perverted gospel will cause confusion. How many think we have any confusion in the world today? Well, I would say 38,000 denominations is a little confusing. That's what I would say. And you have to ask yourself the question, are we a part of the confusion? Or have we humbled ourselves to put aside our presuppositions and just say what the Word says? Well, that's very difficult in the world today because we have organized. We've organized in such a way that one organization will not associate with another organization. Yet everybody calls themselves Christian. Can't you see an issue there? Well, we may not see it. Maybe we just grow up and that's the way it is. Everybody's got their own choice. But the fact is, how does God view it? People would say, well, God is a God of diversity. Well, absolutely. But he is definitely not a schizophrenic, confused individual. Matter of fact, if we just go back to what God said, we would eliminate all the confusion. And that's what happens when you chase what man thinks versus what God said. So what I've been doing, especially for the last couple of years and all the series we did, we were giving you not my, my opinion is not what's going to count. What's going to count is what does God think about this? So you have to lay out everything, whatever you participate in, whatever your activities are, and you have to say, what does the Lord say about this? When you find those scriptures, they begin to become meaningful to you. So we have a strong warning not to pervert the gospel. If you pervert the gospel, there's a strong warning, there's a penalty to be paid, and we definitely don't want to have to pay that penalty. So let's keep those things in mind. Now, the truth of this subject is so important that God inspired the Apostle Paul to warn the Galatians then and us today. So he warns them in Galatians not to pervert this gospel. So let's look at Galatians 1, 6 through 9 and see what he says. Now, that's going to be, I'm laying out foundational format for our teaching. Yet we're going to go back and look at these scripture as individual scripture and see the context in which they're set in. So it takes some time to do this. I figured we'd go at least 4 Sundays just getting this thing where we can start digging through the scripture and pulling out every verse we can dealing with the kingdom of God, including that which is in the Old Testament. So let's look at this. Verse number 6 of Galatians 1. He said, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, what did he call it? A different gospel. Now, listen, if it was already happening in Paul's day, a different gospel, it's no wonder we are where we are today. A different gospel. Somebody said, well, nobody really knows. See, we accept that. We accept it because of all the confusion and all the differences. And when you're dealing with 38,000 denominations around the world, we accept that kind of mindset. Well, nobody really knows. Well, I can tell you, the scripture knows. It doesn't change. We have to just go back and say, what did I miss here? How did I somehow miss to this interpretation here? And we want to find out. So let's take this writing here and see what he says, which is really, notice that, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and wanting to distort the gospel of Christ. So what does Paul says? What he says about the gospel, there's how many? One. But he talked about another gospel. Then he says, not really another. So what they're doing, they're taking the one in the original and doing what? Distorting it. So they're not. Now we know people go way off what's right. When you get 38,000, somebody's going to be really way off, but not everybody. And so what happens is we have to look and see, where have we distorted the gospel? Have we distorted the gospel? What's our responsibility then? Verse 8, but even if we, notice what he says, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you. Contrary to what we have preached to you. What did he preach? Did he preach? Because some people say Paul's gospel. I met folks, I was talking with them, and they said, well, you know, we go with Paul's gospel. Well, really? What was that? Well, he said this. Well, what he said in Galatians, he says, even if we, including himself, that would be Paul, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you. So he says, if I change what I've originally said based on what Christ has said, which is, who's the original preacher of the gospel? That would be Christ. He is to be what? Accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. That's what he said. This is a very strong statement. In the next chapter, Galatians 2:5, Paul went on to stress the hope that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That's what he says. I stress that the hope of the gospel might continue with you. You think maybe he knew that this was going to be an all-out attack on people understanding the gospel? Again, if I say, what's the gospel? If I ask that question, majority, high 90 percentile of Christians around the world would say death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. That's a part of the gospel. It hangs on the gospel. But the gospel is about the kingdom. Remember that. The gospel is about the kingdom. Now, when I mention that, that's foreign to people, because the next question people are asked is, what is the kingdom? Should we know what it is? I can tell you it's a travesty to the church world today, all over the world, that we don't know what the kingdom is, because he said, until the kingdom is preached to all the world, there'll be no return to Christ. So we got to learn. We got to figure that out, learn it, be able to articulate that part of the kingdom, and then share it with those, the masses around. So Paul went on to stress the hope that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So there is the true gospel, with all others being what? There's the true gospel and all others being what? Now our goal is, we got to find out which one we're in. But we teach here, right? Because we're up. Listen, I have a responsibility. What am I teaching? I put myself on the line on a daily basis and say, what am I saying? What's my thoughts? Where did I get these ideas from? Is it scripture? Is what God, is what he says? Am I being led by the Lord or by myself or by someone else? I think these are important questions to know. Galatians 2:1-5 says this. Then after an interval of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus along also. And it was because of a revelation that I went up. And I submitted to them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles. So we know, was Paul preaching the gospel to the Gentiles? Yes, and he said, I submitted that gospel to them. And so he said, but I did so in private to those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or have run in vain. Notice that. Pulling them aside of those who have reputation, because they knew they were up against it. There was already a classing of individuals within the Christian church already. No different than we see it today. So we shouldn't be shocked by what we see today. There was a classing then already. But not even Titus, who was with me, though he was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. But it was because of the false brethren secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. So they would sneak in to spy out their liberties, and I was preaching them the kingdom of God, and their, what God had set them free from, the bondages. And but we did not yield in subjection to them, or even an hour, for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. So it's not only statements that you make about the gospel of the kingdom, but you also have to be careful that you don't revert back to something other than Christ and what he paid for to be the reasoning factor or the strength factor that keeps you in that understanding of the gospel. Meaning this, it's not by works. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not works, through faith. And so he says, not even Titus was compelled to be circumcised, because there was this battle going on whether or not we were going to do this faith based on works or on the things that Christ had established for us. And so I want you to keep that in mind, because this is important. Plainly, Paul never taught a different or additional gospel, as some allege. Ironically, God used him to be the one to warn against ever allowing such false teaching. He even pronounced a curse in 1:8 on any man, angel, or even apostle. But though we, meaning apostles, preach any other gospel, who chooses to violate this command, what a powerful scripture. Think about that. So he included himself. Doesn't make a difference if it's an apostle, an angel, whoever. He said, any other gospel, let him be accursed. So I want you to notice that. So I think we settled the fact that there's not another gospel. Let me tell you, large group of individuals say, well, what we stand on is what Paul preached. Now, they make that, and I stand on what Paul preaches also. But they don't make it in the statement that Paul was preaching the same by the kingdom. They eliminate that and say, well, Paul changed, the gospel changed. After Christ, he was commissioned. That's why he had the encounter on the road to Damascus, and then he started preaching a different gospel. Not what the scripture says. He said, and he included himself, if I'm doing that, I'll be accursed also. So I hope that you understand that. Paul further explained that the apostles were entrusted by God to preserve the true gospel. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4, says this, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel. What would they put in trust with? The gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men. What's the one thing that would cause people to start changing the gospel? What are their goals? Please men. How many of you know when you start having church set up where it's pleasing men, naturally there's going to be a migration to that arena. Because there's no change, there's no repentance, there's nothing that we have to do but to just be in a gathering. I was going over this morning, just thinking about this series, and I tell you, it's amazing how the Lord will just show you things and remind you of stuff. And I told him, I said, well, when he does that, if it's the Lord, I say, you got to remind me if it's something that would just come to my mind, it'll go away. So it's over. I'm not going to write it down. I'm going to just trust that you're trying to deal with me concerning this. So maybe people, I can explain it and you'll understand what I'm saying. But what happens in church is people are looking to associate with something. They start identifying with something. How many in here has ever followed sports? All right. Now, if I called your team out and you identify with that team, and that's the one you picked, and that's the one that you identify with, you become a fan of that team. If I say another team, it doesn't really move you. Because the only thing it does is that you're seeing that as opponents, not your team. Let me see if I can guess this one right. Who in here is a 49ers fan? How'd I guess that? There you go. Now, one hand went up. You understand? He identifies that's his team. So if I'm talking 49ers football, I got his what? Attention. Because he identifies with that. Do you? And the Lord said to me this today, he said, that's what church folks are doing all over around the world. They become a fan of their organization. They're not a fan with me. Now, if I'm talking about football, am I distinguishing that as to just be 49ers? No, I'm talking about the entirety of the NFL. Do you understand that? And what we do is we identify with whatever group we're good with, and that's it. That's not how the scripture's written. Not at all. We have become nothing more than fans of what we stand for, what we like. Now, Brother Josh, he lives a long way from San Francisco. Now, he's been there because I've seen him go there. On their, you know, you could follow their travel. People go nowhere in secret no more. You know that. You don't go anywhere in secret. Not with Facebook. You know, you just, I don't know how you know what you call it, but you can tell people where you are. Like a little dot comes up and goes, bing. What is it? Checking in. Well, I remember Brother Josh checking in. Well, I've been to San Francisco and, you know, that's a long way from home. So he didn't pick San Francisco because he grew up there. He identifies with them based upon his likes, what suits him, over whatever else is out there. Because he should be a what fan? Sister Dawn, and that's a fact, ain't it? We let anybody in this church, huh? So you think about it. He's that because he chose what he identifies with. Now, I was furthest thing from my mind is football, and everybody knows that. I don't know if I watched a single game. I know I hadn't the whole way through. My dad has it on all the time, so if I'm over there it is. But I'm interested. I got other stuff that I identify with, right? But we choose that, and we become fans of what we pick. You cannot do that in the kingdom of God. You can't just pick something. I associate with that group or this group or that group. You have to. When you come into the kingdom of God, you go off of what he says, his rules, his regulations, and you submit to him. And there is, as far as the believer goes, the Christian, there is nothing else. That's how you eliminate that. Somebody might say, well, you know, we'll just never get rid of it. If you got 38,000 different views, we're not getting rid of that. Well, that may be true. But it can start with individuals. You and I have to decide whether or not we're going to take what the Word of God says and then identify with that. And that only. Don't become a fan. You can pick something foreign to you. You have no idea, but you just like it. So if you're going to church because you just like it, you're missing the whole point. You obviously don't know about the hope. I'm here because of the hope. What is that hope? It's the kingdom of God, which hinges upon immortality. Do you understand that? Does that spark anybody's interest when I say immortality, meaning you cannot die? It actually hinges upon the fact that you got to understand you become immortal. So he's looking at our lives, and he's trying to figure out who's going to be right for the kingdom. When Christ rules and reigns, and he sits on the throne of David, who's going to be right for the kingdom? He said, know you not that you shall rule the world? What does he mean there? You're going to rule the world. You know, that ought to get our attention. But we're struggling to just try to put our own life in subjection. We can't keep our monies right. Do you understand? We can't keep our relationships right. Can't keep our families right. What is that? That's an attack from the enemy. But you see, you've lowered the bar. That becomes your problem. Can you imagine when he says, "No, you're not," that you will rule the world? What is that going to help you with? You know what it's going to help you with? You're going to start seeing, you know what? I may have these struggles and these troubles, but don't let that be the bar. You're reaching for a higher prize. That's why Paul said, "I press toward the mark of the high calling." It's not a low calling. This stuff's high calling. This is a whole lot bigger picture than we set in front of us on a daily basis saying this is what we got. So hopefully you'll see that as we go through these scriptures. Paul further explains that the apostles were entrusted to by God to preserve the true gospel, and that's what we read here in Thessalonians, but we have as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. This is a responsibility not to be taken lightly. True ministers always teach what God commands, not what pleases men. A Bible scholar or Bible scholar. So any idea that Paul taught another gospel, usually thought to be about Christ, is silly. That's a simple word to use. It's silly thinking. He would have been literally pronounced a curse on himself. He would never have done that. So listen, think about it. It's not popular to preach the scripture. I can tell you that. And over the last 30 years, that's challenging. I can tell you it's challenging to me. It's not popular to tell folks what the scripture says because it's easier to have charisma and articulate words in a way that draws people to you. That's not what we ought to be interested in. I'm interested in preparing you for the ultimate hope that we have, and that's the kingdom of God. Do you see yourself as individuals? If you claim to be Christian, do you see yourself as a person living in the kingdom of God? Do you see that? If you don't, you have no hope. This is what people hope in. I die and then I go to heaven. The problem with that is you got to show me the chapter and a verse on that. That's an idea. Show me the chapter and the verse on that. Where is it? I die and I go to heaven. See, you can be all your life just believing in somebody's idea. But if you take what the scripture says or what our rabbi teaches, Jesus Christ, what he teaches, he talks about the kingdom of God. And he talks about it often. The kingdom of God, that's our hope. That's what we're hoping for. It's to be those who operate in that kingdom. Because you can take somebody's thoughts and ideas and they sound real good. You identify with them. They become your gospel. And that's what you believe. And you might say a statement like this. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, I believe this is what I believe and I'm going to hold on to it. And you might even say nobody should try to hurt me or distract me from what I'm believing in. That's fine. You can believe in something that God doesn't say, and in one day, find out. But I don't think you should take life as some gamble. He didn't say, just take a chance. He tells us exactly what his plans are. And then we're going to see that. All who preach a false gospel automatically pronounce a curse on themselves. Why do men not fear to do this? Why are so many willing to teach anyone of a variety of false gospels? The churches of mainstream Christianity cannot agree on what the gospel is. And the question is, why? So if we talk about mainstream Christianity, which is the majority of Americans, not to mention the world, but let's talk about America. That's where we live, in the United States of America. The main religion of America is Christian. So if we talk about mainstream Christian, why is it, when we look at this, that we have people who do not fear when it comes to teaching something that the scripture doesn't teach? And we consistently do it week after week after week. I think it's something we have to take a look at. Since Christ said the gospel was about the kingdom of God, and men do not know what the kingdom of God is, they have concluded that the kingdom may be a particular church denomination or Christianity collectively. So people conclude for themselves because there's no teaching on it. Nobody's teaching this anymore. So they just, well, if I go to this certain church, then I'm good. Because whatever they teach is going to take me where I want to go because I'm believing in what they're saying. Some folks will leave the church. They left with not knowing nothing. And when they arrived not knowing anything and left not knowing less. And that's a travesty. This is not a hospital. The church is not a hospital. You come, it's broke, you line up, and it gets fixed. This is a feeding session. We're here to eat the word of God, to take part in the bread of life, that it changes our life. Do we all come here and we're just standing perfect? No. We're humans individually unperfect. We have so many imperfections. But one thing's for certain. He says that we can strive for perfection. So you come to Christ, you accept what he did for you. Does that just certify you? You're it? That's it? No. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. How many's ever been to a race? Well, live, where you watch somebody race around a track. A horse's race. Anybody ever see that? What about the Olympics? Anybody ever see the Olympics? You watch an Olympics. What about a sports rival team, and they're tied up, and it's got 30 seconds left? How many has ever seen situations like that? And they're tied up, and your team's got the ball. You excited. You'd much rather be on offense than defense, right? You ever seen that? You ever seen the races going on? How many would love that when you see it start and you watch this from its entire thing, and right at the last 5 seconds, when they're going to cross the finish line, shoot the last hoop, throw the last bomb, the TV goes out. You ain't worrying about the beginning no more. You can care less about when you started. You're worrying about the end. And that's what nobody wants to think about in today's society. It's not where you started. You might have started in believing in Jesus. But listen, the ultimate thing is the finish line. That's the ultimate thing. Nobody, man, you're going to kick the television. Vizio's going out the door. Samsung's got a hole in it. Don't you dare. DirecTV, get that dish out of here. Right? You want to see the end. You're going to jump up and say, what just happened? Here's the problem. Nobody's thinking about the end. We're still talking about, well, I started, bless the Lord, a long time ago. Well, I know a lot of folks started. If I had everybody who started that ever came to this church, you'd have had to pick a ticket outside so you could get your turn to sit in here. We're not talking about those who start. I'm talking about those day in, day out, come high water or low water. It doesn't make a difference. They're going to the finish line. You know who does that? Those who got the kingdom on their mind. You got to endure to the end. You got to make it, because there's a lot of times where you just don't make it. They start, and it's all nice. Everybody can start the race, but listen, nobody wants to watch the Olympics and say, well, I don't want to see the ceremony of the gold medal. Are you kidding me? What'd you watch it for? You want to see the ceremony of the gold medal. Well, that's what I'm telling you about this kingdom. There's going to be a ceremony of a gold medal being handed out to those. He calls it the crown of life. That's what I want to see. You know, we talking about, give me Jesus. I'm thankful I got him. But I want to hold on to him, and I want to have the time where we see it's the crown of life. Amen. I guess you could tell by now that I've been fighting some illness. And I'm about to preach my voice in the yesterday. Others reduce this to a warm feeling. A warm feeling. Man, I went to church, I felt something. Well, we're glad you did. But it ain't about warm feelings. We can get you warm by putting the heat up, too. And don't get confused about those two things. It's not about a feeling. in the heart of people. Still others believe that it is in the millennium or even the British Empire. Some have even concluded that the gospel of the kingdom is not for mankind today. What incredible ignorance. This is nonsense. And there's no way we can continue down that path because it's going to bring all sorts of confusion in the lives of people. The mass are deceived. Revelation 12:9 says, by the God of what? This world. So let's be clear. Satan is the God of this world. It don't make no difference who's the president of the United States or who's in charge. Whether Putin's over Russia, it doesn't make a difference. Listen, the bottom line is Satan is the God of this world. That's what the scripture says, and we got to be clear on that. The only hope we have is to go and get in the understanding of the kingdom of God and what the message Jesus preached. That's the only hope. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, so he's telling this, the masses are deceived, Revelation 12:9, by the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4, who uses his ministers as instruments to spread the most popular false gospel. So think about it. Does Satan have ministers? Well, it says he did. He uses his ministers. Well, we think, well, that's the bad guys. Really? I submit to you, it's guys that look just like I look today. Just because I'm suited up, what does that mean? Nothing. If my message is wrong, then I'm nothing more than a deceiver. That's what I am. You can look the part. I can stand up here and tell you this and that. My message has to be correct when it comes to the scripture. Because other than that, I'm nothing more than a deceiver. I mean, understand that. So what do? You check out everything I'm telling you. You don't take my word for nothing. You check it out for yourself. You find out, make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. Because that's important. Amen? In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 10 through 15, and as the truth of Christ is in me, this boasting of mine will not be stopped in the region of Achaia. Why? Because I do not love you? No, it's not the reason. God knows I do. That's what he says. But what I am doing, I will continue to do so that I may cut off opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded just as we are in the matter about which they are boasting. For such men are false apostles, deceiving workers. Now notice what he calls them, false apostles. So they're in a position of leadership. They're teaching people. They might have a church. They may have a large organization. And people have become fans of those organizations. But what does he call them? He calls them false apostles, deceitful workers. You think maybe we have trouble with that in the world today? I want to submit to you we do. So if you're looking for what's the greatest error that's going to cause the deception of most of those who are following after Christ, don't look at the world. Don't look at that. You got to look within the church. Because our message has become nothing more than a message that has parroted from one generation to the next. And so this is what he's warning us against. He said, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as the servants of righteousness. What's going to be their disguise? Servants of righteousness. So if you got people saying crazy stuff, that's because they're crazy. There you go. You can sum that up real easy. That's not what you watch. You can identify crazy. You can see crazy a long way away. I mean, that's just the way it is. But what you got to watch is guys like me. Get your head going like this. Who look the part, but are they saying what God said? Do you understand? That's critical. Listen, if I'm trying to persuade you to lead you down a path that's deception, I'm definitely not going to tell you or warn you to check out what I'm saying. So when I say that, I mean it. You check it out. Go verify the scripture. I mean, listen, this is important. So not everybody you see on this Hollywood TV preaching who talked about Jesus. You say, well, they're talking about Jesus. Really? He just said they're going to disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. He's telling us that. So not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. And the question is, enter what? Well, we're entering. You know, everybody said, heaven. Again, find me the chapter and the verse for that. Because I'm interested in that. If you're telling me heaven, show me that somewhere. Got to show me. But he's talking about the kingdom. They won't enter the kingdom. There's no place for them. Because their deeds at the underlying part of it were evil. And he knew that. This is a blunt and shocking scripture, isn't it? It's blunt. Yet it is true that Satan has ministers who appear to be ministers of God. He has ministers who appear to be ministers of God. I've met some, I know some, and I can tell you it's a danger that's happening around the world. Sad. The following verses continues Paul's description of the work of false ministers. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1 through 4, he says this. I wish that you would bear with me in a little foolishness, but indeed you are bearing with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betroth you to one husband. So the betrothal there is to one husband. Notice that. So that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin. Notice that. He said, I didn't tell you about nothing else besides Christ. Nothing else. But again, let's continue. Watch what he says. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of the devotion to Christ. Because we start chasing stuff they call emotions. We chase that. We're looking for to feel better. You know, I go over here because I feel good. But be careful. Be careful that you don't chase the feeling. Because there's system set up to draw you to the feeling, but it leads you away from the kingdom message. And that's something that you have to be careful in. For if one comes and preaches another Jesus, notice that, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. Now look, think about it. He said they can preach another Jesus. So it's preaching Jesus, but it's how you can tell if it's the right Jesus. Well, you got to know Jesus' message. What's his message? What was the main thing Jesus preached about? I'd say that to someone and say, well, I didn't even know Jesus preached. Well, you didn't. Really. You ought to study the words of Jesus. It takes one year, to study the words of Jesus. He's a preacher of righteousness. He preached the gospel. And so he said they'll preach another Jesus. Or you better be careful because you can receive another spirit. And that's something that's I don't have time to get into, but maybe some other time we can come back and look at that. They'll receive another spirit. Me and my wife, in traveling, going to different places, you encounter different spirits. We were in Nepal, and you could see, spirits. Now, for the most part, if we took that same atmosphere, that arena of that move of the Spirit and set it in churches in America, people would be shouting right alongside of them. Glory to God. They got the Spirit. They got a Spirit, but I can tell you, it ain't Holy Spirit. You see? But they don't know. Hey, it's emotion. See, they're off the emotion. Man, it makes them, they were crying. Had to be God. They were crying. Really? You think crying is an indicator? Come up here, I'll smash your foot with a sledgehammer. And you'll be crying. It ain't got nothing to do with the Spirit. It has everything to do with me smashing your foot with a sledgehammer. Do you understand? We get all wrapped up in stuff that's complete nonsense. You have to be careful, because he said, be careful that you don't receive a different spirit. So you think that you can preach a different Christ and a different spirit. And we've seen that. We've seen people that, if all you've done, if you change the titles and the clothes and took them same individuals and put them in American churches, you'd think they was having a Holy Ghost revival. And it was demonic. We were there in those places like, whoa! Because it don't take long before you know it. That joker comes out. And people don't even realize a Kundalini spirit is that. You see it in India a lot, Nepal a lot, because of Hindu worship. I've seen it. When I seen the Kundalini, I said, I seen that in America. I seen that in church. Another spirit. Be careful. If Christ is the gospel, think about that, then why are another Jesus and another gospel listed as two separate problems? Notice that. He lists them as two separate problems. If Christ is the gospel, then why did he preach? He use it as two separate problems? I think that's an important question. People need to wake up to the deception, the mass delusion of a supposed Christianity that denies virtually all the plain truth of the Bible. God's plan for mankind is staggering, incomparable to anything human beings have devised to replace what he says. The world ignores plain, clear, unmistakable scripture found throughout the Bible about the kingdom of God. Bottom line, it's not being a fan of your local church. You're in it for the kingdom. That's the bottom line. You're in it for the kingdom. So we have to check ourselves, whether you're here or anywhere else. Check yourself. If you're here because you're a fan of this church, you're in it for the wrong reason. You got to be in this relationship so basically upon the fact that it's the kingdom of God. That's what your goal is. That's what I'm aiming for. I want to be in the kingdom. I want to be there. Now, we're going to get into detail about what that is in this section here. Christ's message, an advanced announcement. It's going to be absolutely incredible. This is going to really take us on this journey. I'll cover just a little bit introduction of it, and then we'll start here next Sunday. Like a newscaster far ahead of his time, Christ came to make an announcement about a complete change in the way the world would one day be governed. With this change would come unprecedented world peace, happiness, harmony, universal health, and prosperity. Now, I mentioned that line for a reason, because we're trying to get all of those things right now. Right? Am I correct on this? We're after that. So we have newly elected someone, and well, maybe I shouldn't use we. I don't know. I've just assumed that. But anyway, nonetheless, elected. So we think we got all the, we got it now. We got the House, we got the Senate, and we got the President. Glory to God, we're on our way. Really? Now what we got to do, this is what we have to. With the change would come unprecedented world peace. All right? I'm gonna say it, and I'm gonna give you the answer of its reality. Not gonna happen. All right, I don't want to be too blunt. Happiness, not gonna happen. Right? Harmony, not gonna happen. Harmony, the gloves are coming out. What about repeal and replace Obamacare? No, that's not what it says. Okay, universal health. Universal health. Not going to happen. Prosperity, that's what it is. All the prosperity preachers. Give me and you'll get whenever. Just give me. I'm telling you, the Lord's telling me. Send me your checkbook. That's sad. Prosperity. Preach prosperity. I get more and you get less. Not going to happen. But Jesus comes along and says, here, if you'll listen to me, This is what you're going to get and guaranteed. You're going to have this. There'll be the change is going to come and it's going to be unprecedented. He's going to be the King of Kings and he's going to give world peace. Literally, world peace. Wow. Can we see that there's world peace? I don't care what kind of, listen, we can go to Israel, UN can do whatever they want to do. We can go over there. Look, Israel themselves don't have peace. Because it's going to take a change in Israel. They have drifted from the principles of God. They were worrying more about praying at the Western Wall than submitting to the commands of God. Is it going to be world peace? Not going to happen. There's only going to be one king, one ruler, who's going to come along and be able to produce that, and that's Christ. And he will, when he returns. Okay? What about this happiness? Listen, you ever had a day when you were real happy? Well, there was billions of others unhappy. We're not talking about just your happiness. And a lot of times, you know what we're looking for? We're so divided, we want to be happy. We don't care about anybody else. Do you understand? That's not the law Jesus worked on. The law of reciprocity is, he says, listen, if you succeed, then I've succeeded. He said, I want you to have the same happiness I got. And that's what brings ultimate happiness, is so you see the masses receive that. And that's the goal of the Lord for the world. So keep that in mind. Harmony. There's no harmony today. And nobody can put harmony in the world except for Christ. And that's what he'll do in the kingdom. Universal health. There'll be no sickness, no disease. Isn't that amazing? In that kingdom, there'll be the tree of life with 12 fruits. The leaves of the healing of the nations. Think about that. The lion lays with the lamb. Wow. Well, that's how it was at the beginning. You know, if I took a beginner class and I said, okay, the kingdom, you know, just to start out with, that's what God created at the beginning, his kingdom. And then what did he do? He turned it over to man. He said, now you rule and reign over everything. You become the king of this world. And then Satan came in and sidetracked, whatever it was, deceived, deception come, deceived evil, however it was, it all came about, and that kingdom was forfeited. So what does God do? Does he say, okay, we lost that, never to have it back? No, he says, I'm going to restore that kingdom. So what we're talking about is the restored kingdom of God coming back, and that's going to be incredible. So think about that. Very important. Everywhere he went, Christ spoke about the kingdom of God. It was the subject of most of his parables. If you notice the parables of Jesus, the subject of that was the kingdom. When he commissioned his 12 apostles and sent them to preach, his instruction was to preach about the kingdom of God. And that's in Luke 9, 1 and 2. We'll cover that next week. We're going to look at those verses. So what did Jesus preach about? What did Jesus? And we'll stop with this couple more slides, and that'll be our starting point. My purpose in this teaching is to describe in uncomplicated language what I think the Bible tells us about God, about what the creator of the universe had in mind when he created the heavens and the earth, about God's grand design. What is his great purpose for you and for the world? I want to explain to you what he expects of you and me in whatever condition we find ourselves, what God's goal is for you as you battle your way through life's difficulties. I want to show you what God has in store for those who really love him and his son, Jesus. People pursue goals in different fields with single-mindedness. And that's what happens. It's single-mindedness. That's what they pursue, their goals, meaning they're all in. This is my team. This is my church. Single-minded, they're all in. This is my occupation. So they do that. That's something that we do. They often give themselves wholeheartedly to the pursuit of goals which have no ultimate value. How many of you know that there's no ultimate value? As big a fan as Brother Josh is as 49ers, if they ever win the Super Bowl again, I mean ever, I'm just picking, brother. he's not getting a check. Just the way it is. Am I correct, brother? Not on that first statement, though, huh? No, I figured that. It's too much to ask that we dedicate ourselves to gaining immortality? What about that? Listen, who in here, you know for a fact, that your single-mindedness is toward immortality. Think about that. You know how much energy we put in other goals? How many's ever started your own business? You got to be energized. To be an entrepreneur and start your own business, you got to get single-minded. You got to pursue it. You got to sacrifice. You got to put forth effort. You got to give up stuff. But when you reach the goal, you go, wow, I reached my goal. My business is doing good. It's now paying. How many spend the time pursuing immortality that way? Yet, you know what? It's a commitment. Yes. And you cannot be in the kingdom of God without immortality. Because you're the generation I'm talking to. You're the live and die generation. Now, there were live and die generations before us. It turns out that those living came to what? Death. So then there's no more living in that part. But we still got live and die right here. Some going to be alive. Some going to die if the Lord comes back. And our generation. What happens to the dead? They raise. What happens to the alive? They're changed. Is everybody going to be changed? Well, no. They're going to be regular folks in the kingdom. Who's going to help ruling in the kingdom? No, you're not. That you will help rule the world? That's a powerful verse. No, you're not. That you will help rule the world? World, I thought we'd just go to heaven. Hop on a pink cloud and play a harp. Really? That's fine. After about a week, you're going to get tired of seeing pink. But what if you got a job? You actually got a job. You actually got to put in. You got to do stuff to do. You got to tell. So listen, you know what's going to happen in the kingdom? Stuff we can't do nothing about. We try. You can join whatever organization you want. You can be an advocate for whatever. But when somebody wants to hurt somebody, you know, as much as you're against them doing that, you can't stop it. It's in them to do. But in the kingdom, you're going to be able to say, stop it. And what are they going to do? They're going to stop. You understand? There's a big difference. So if you want to help in the kingdom, you got to be prepared for the kingdom. So is it too much to ask that we dedicate ourselves to gaining immortality, the only goal which really lasts and lasts forever? What goal did Jesus present to his audience? What was the heart and core of all of his preaching and teaching? Just open your Bible to Luke 4. This is what we're closing with. Verse 43. It'll be up on the screen, but if you have a Bible, you want to mark this because you need to memorize this verse. And you will find Jesus telling us there what he was all about. You will find him in that verse giving his mission statement. He gave his mission statement. The purpose for all his preaching, teaching, the reason for his whole activity in the service of God, his Father. You will find here Jesus' precious master's word in the genesis of all he stood for and loved. This is what you'll find. Luke chapter 4, verse 43. There's no way I can reveal the kingdom, teach this without this verse. This is critical. Here it is. But he said to them, I, quoting Jesus, quote, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also. Watch this. For I was sent for this purpose. Hallelujah. I was sent for this purpose. So to say that Jesus was sent to die, be buried, and rise again, it sells short what the gospel message is all about. What was he sent for? To preach the kingdom of God. Remember, before he died, he preached. We want to take everybody straight to the cross. And let me tell you, that's a wonderful spot to be. But you got to teach folks what this whole thing's all about or what church is going to do. They're either going to become a fan of the church. If they become a fan, let me ask this. Now, I didn't finish my thought on that, so I got to ask this. Thank you, Lord. Brother Josh, was 49ers always your team? Always from a little boy? Did you ever have another team that you were a fan of? Well, who that was? There he goes. The Saints. I don't want to admit it, but I was at one point. I went to that church a couple times, but I'm a member of the 49ers church. You see, you can change. You really can. I met folks, let me tell you, you're unique. You've been there, you've been with them, you're right. But you meet folks, you know who's the fan of? The winners. That's the truth. That's what they do. What team you like? Who's winning? Who's winning? Yep, that's my team. No commitment. They're just going for the winners. You know how many Saints? People went with the Saints the year they won the Super Bowl. We left out to go to Nepal the next day. So we were at the airport, international flight, headed out. We were flying to California and then to Japan. And there were folks wearing Saints shirts. I told Charlotte, there ain't no more Saints fan. Never been to a game. They bought them one. Why? They a fan of the winners. I know nobody in here does that. But that's what happens in the church world all the time. They're looking for what's going on. They're looking for what. But let me tell you what you're going to need in the kingdom. Good, solid, sit down, teaching in the Word of God. That's what Christ did. He said, I'm here to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what we need. And so I want to encourage you in this series. We'll be doing this series all the way up because we'll be leaving. But when I get back, I'm going to continue putting this together. We're going to go all the way sometime in February or March, going into April, we'll be doing the kingdom series. So it's going to take some time. It'll actually be the thing that leads us into Passover for this coming year, this series. So it takes some time to go through it. There's so many verses on the kingdom, and we want to give you every one of them. So I thank you for being here today. I appreciate the time you've given. I do apologize of my speech. Hopefully it wasn't overbearing to you. But I appreciate the opportunity you give us to share the scripture with you, to see the passion that God has put in our hearts to make sure people are prepared for the kingdom of God. That's important. Let me tell you why it's important. No matter, it doesn't make a difference if you attend here or somewhere else. You have to be connected to the kingdom of God. And no matter where you go, you can be light and salt. You can be that person who can share that. And so there's some verses about the kingdom you need to know. You got to memorize those verses. That's very important. Very, very valuable that you understand that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today.